Hello and welcome to the Monday, November 9th, 2015 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. The compromise of PageFair I mentioned last week has yet another victim, and that's The Economist. If you did visit The Economist while PageFair was compromised, which was for a couple hours between October 31st and November 1st, you may have been offered a fake flash update. I mentioned we talked about this last week, and there are a number of large websites that use PageFair in order to protect their ads from ad blockers. I think The Economist is the first site that I have seen, at least among the large sites, that does sort of notify its customers of this problem. Remember that whenever you include site from third parties, that your site now cannot be any more secure than the weakest one of the sites that you're trusting to include content from. And talking about compromised websites, somewhat ironic, but the Financial Reporting Council of Nigeria's website got compromised and used for phishing. Now, the phishing here just asks for email credentials, could be used to send spam or maybe used to then get to other accounts that use the same credentials. The website itself does run on an old version of Joomla, which of course is the likely entry point here. And then we got some news about SSL from the ITF working group TRANS, that's for Transparency of Public Notaries. What this is really about is, first of all, certificate transparency. Now, this is standard. I have mentioned before, Google is sort of behind it. And essentially, what it means is that certificate authorities will publish hashes of certificates that they issued. The goal here is that you will be able to tell if a certificate authority does publish a certificate for a domain that you own, for example, and with that, you, for example, realize that this certificate authority did issue a certificate that they should not have issued. The problem that was addressed now with an update to the standard is, what if the secret key that is used to sign these lists is being compromised? And what they're planning to do is to actually have multiple certificate authorities sign these lists. So this should then eliminate this single point of failure. But when it comes to SSL, standards are one thing. How they're implemented is another thing. And there is an interesting new study by Stanford, Northeastern, and University of Maryland, where they looked at how well do different browsers actually deal with certificate revocations. First of all, one number that sort of surprised me here was that 8% of the certificates are being revoked, according to this study. They looked at web servers and essentially just received the certificates being offered by these web servers, and then also checked certificate revocation lists. The other thing is that, in particular, mobile browsers and actually also Firefox are really bad in checking for certificate revocations. Now, what works somewhat good is OCSP. That is essentially this web service that exists to check for revoked certificates. Certificate revocation lists do not really work very well. We download them for a while now, and they have become really, really big and somewhat unwieldy. So a lot of them come with lifetimes of a couple of days, where essentially a browser, even if it does it correctly, will only download them every so often. Now, one area where actually extended validation certificates give you an advantage is that some browsers, in particular Chrome, will be more picky about revocations with EV certificates. Like, one problem that always comes up is, what if the certificate revocation list or the OCSP service does not respond? In this case, most browsers will just accept the certificate as valid. Chrome behaves a little bit different here if it's an EV certificate, so does Firefox. Well, interesting paper, lots of more details in there if you want to look at it. I will include, of course, the URL in the show notes. And then we got an update for the SSH client PuTTY. I know a lot of Windows users like to use it. It had a security vulnerability, so you may want to check for an update.